The one word that captures the theme of today's readings and today's feast day is witness. Witness. And this is appropriate because the word witness involves the virtue of faith. And Easter and the Easter season, which we are in, the Easter season isn't over with on Easter Sunday, nor is it over with after the octave of Easter. But the Easter season continues all the way until when? Pentecost. And so the Easter season actually helps us to prepare for Pentecost. But anyway, the great virtue that we celebrate during the celebration of Easter and the Easter season is faith. And faith is about believing not only that there is a God, not only that God has spoken, but the truth of what God has revealed. And Jesus, or I would say, how do we believe, or what do we believe by? What do we believe about God? The means by which we believe God and believe about God are by the word that is spoken. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus. Jesus came into the world to witness to the truth about God, specifically revealing his Father, and then towards the end of his life, he would speak about the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to reveal the inner life of the Trinity. So when he says that he testifies to what he has heard, seen and heard. What is that about? It's about Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, the eternal begotten Son of the Father. He comes and he just reveals the eternal life with the Father that he has lived through all eternity. In other words, he is witnessing to the truth of his, quote, experience of God. And he is God. So he's cut, and I use the term experience in quotes because it's not exactly like we experience things. You wouldn't say God necessarily experiences because he doesn't have a body. So I just use the term experience very loosely, analogously, very loosely. But that Jesus comes and with his divine personality, he expresses the truth of God. Because he has, so to speak, experienced the truth of God, because he is God and he lives in the communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So this is what Jesus does. He is the first witness, if you will, to the truth of God. And then you have, in the first reading, you have the apostles being witnesses to Jesus. So the apostles experience in a human way, in a 100% human way, the truth of Jesus. Therefore, the truth of the Word becoming flesh, the truth of God. The apostles witnessed life with Jesus. They saw everything that he did. They heard everything that he preached, all the incredible acts that he did, the deeds, the words, all that. And then it became confirmed with the resurrection. And then the power of the Holy Spirit gave them the light, the gift of faith to be able to see and understand more deeply and truly all that Jesus said, did, and revealed. They were, the apostles became true disciples of our Lord. And therefore their task was to go out and witness to these truths, to proclaim to the nations who God is in the truth of his inner life. Because what faith teaches us is what our natural reason cannot tell us. Our natural reason can tell us that we can come through our natural reason through a lot of effort to understand that God exists. We can come to understand some of his attributes, like that God is good, God is powerful. We can come to understand these things, you know, by looking at the world, that God's pretty smart. to design the world the way he's done it. God is wise. But we can't understand the inner life of God. We can't understand that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can't understand just how merciful he is. God has to come and tell us about himself. And that happens through Jesus. Like I said, he witnesses to the truth of who God is. And then man experiences this truth, and he gets changed by this truth, and then he goes out and proclaims this truth. That's what the apostles are doing, so they're witnessing to all that. But they reach a little snafu, don't they? Because not just like Jesus says, no one accepts his testimony. Not everybody wants to accept what I have to say. Even though I'm God, and I deliver the truth of God, nobody really wants to believe, or not, you know, not everybody doesn't want to believe, but not everybody does. There are people who don't. And so the apostles, just like the Master, just like the Lord, as the Lord experienced hardness of hearts, so the apostles encountered the hardness of hearts. But yet they had to keep witnessing. That's why they said, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. And that truth will resound not only during their age, but through all ages will that truth resound. And that's where we come to, for example, the life of Saint Stanislaus. Saint Stanislaus had the, as the Bishop of Krakow, pretty important leadership role in the church in Poland, and he had to deal with this guy named King Boleslaus II. And by the way, it was in the 11th century. King Boleslaus lived between 1030 and 1079 AD. And St. Stanislaus had the unpleasant task, if you will, of having to correct the king. Just like Thomas Becket had to correct King Henry, that's Thomas More, had to correct King Henry VIII. Just like Thomas Becket had to witness against the King of England. Just like St. John the Baptist had to stand up against Herod and his immoral life. Sometimes witnessing the faith means that we have to have unpleasant conversations with people. But you have to be careful with that. You know, you have to make sure that charity is your motive and you're not taking out the hammer and beating people over the head with it. You know, the bishop, though, as the leader of the church, because, well, let me back up. What does, you know, because we're not obligated to go out and, like, shout from the rooftops all the time about our faith. That's not, you know, we're not to go to walk into the, if you work or, you know, you go out into shopping, you go out to the mall or whatever, you're not to go out with a bullhorn or whatever, or a megaphone or a, you know, speaker and, you know, start reading from the Bible. You know, we're not called to do that. You don't have to do that. But we are called to give an external expression of our faith when what? When the honor of God demands it, or the good of our neighbor demands it. And so Saint Stanislaus, when you have a political leader who is giving a bad example in the faith and possibly scandalizing the faithful, right? Or you see that God's honor is being harmed, then we have an obligation. That's when we are called to witness to our faith. And this becomes especially true for leaders of the church who have to deal with other secular authorities. And that's what St. Stanislaus did. He called out King Boleslaus for some of his policies that were deemed to be immoral, some of the unjust wars that King Boleslaus was fighting, and also just the immoral life that he was leading. And so St. Stanislaus had the vocal gift, the courage to be able to call that out. Now, I want to make the point that in this day and age, some people can get all huffy and puffy and get their cages rattled a little bit. If like a priest or a bishop were happen to criticize a current day political leader or leaders for various positions that they would have. And the refrain is, oh, you're getting into politics, ooh. Well, we have the right to weigh into politics as priests, as, you know, bishops, if it has to do with correcting policies or political judgments that are morally harmful or scandalous to the faithful. We have a right to do that. We have a right, for example, to criticize various Catholic politicians who take political stances that are completely immoral, and scandalous to the faithful. When a politician gets up and claims that they are practicing their Catholic faith and radically promoting the destruction of human life from conception until natural death, say that a little more clearly. When they are promoting the destruction of human life from conception up until the point of birth, to say that more clearly, or promoting the destruction of human life through euthanasia. That's immoral. And for a Catholic, for someone to say that they're Catholic, to proclaim that is scandalous. It can be scandalous to the faithful and confusing. And that's when we have the right to be able to speak, just like St. Stanislaus did, just like St. John the Baptist did, just like St. Thomas More did, just like St. Thomas Becket did. We have the right and the obligation to do that. So anyway, but for most of you, though, you're not necessarily called to do that. You don't have that responsibility necessarily. But you are called to witness to your faith. I want to give you just a little example of how someone witnessed to their faith just recently. And this was comes from one of our Marian helpers. So some of you may know that I served at one of the Marian parishes, and it's the Marian parish in Darien, Illinois, called Our Lady of Peace. And there was a woman there who was a Marian helper. She loves Divine Mercy, and so she was planning for Divine Mercy Sunday at Our Lady of Peace. It was Saturday, and it was the Saturday before Divine Mercy Sunday. So anyway, there was this crazy accident that happened. Father Mike Kalea is a good friend of hers. He was at Our Lady of Peace with me when I was there, and he got a text from her where she described what happened, and Father Michael passed it on to me, so I'm kind of summarizing here, but anyway, she was there setting up, and all of a sudden she heard these, like, boom, you know, these crashes. And so she went out and she saw this car somehow was got flipped over and ended up crashing into a tree. It was like flipped over. If you're watching this, you can see the picture of it. So it was a pretty big deal car accident, and the person was thrown out of the car, basically lying near death while, you know, there. And so she runs out, and while, you know, she's taking a video of this, but while she's doing it, you know, everybody's around there taking videos, pictures or whatever. And so she starts like praying the Memorare. Then she starts praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And she writes in there, like, she's like asking people, do you know Jesus, whatever? And she's trying to get people to pray with her, but they were all too busy, you know, with the phone out, you know, kind of like, you know, doing the whole, you know, this thing, right? You know, doing that. Living life through the phone, and nobody would do it, which, you know, I'm not judging the people, but it's kind of like, I was like, wow, that's a really nice witness of faith. And, you know, I'm sure that her prayers helped this gentleman. And she would go on to relate that, you know, they did CPR on him. They brought, brought him back to life, or they helped to strengthen his life. And then she found out he survived. So I thought that was a really cool expression of faith, a good witness of faith. But anyway, this is something, again, that as we remember, as we live, or as we are moving through this Easter season, to really focus on our life of faith. How deep is our belief, right? Because faith is an internal act. It's an assent to what God has revealed. And we believe God because God is God and He cannot lie. That's the basis of our faith. And we make that assent. That's the internal act of faith. We believe there's a God. We believe that He has spoken. We believe what He has revealed to us. And then sometimes that calls for this, calls for this external expression, this witness. How are we doing with that in our life? That's what our readings and the life of St. Stanislaus especially call us to reflect upon and call us to ask for God's help to deepen our faith, to deepen our witness to our faith, so that God may be properly glorified and the truth of our neighbor may be and the truth of the good of our neighbor may be strengthened.